Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Good morning. Time to have a little comedy fun. What's the buzz, New York? What's the buzz? Okay. Let's break it down. Okay. What are we going to start with today? I don't know. I'm not feeling it. I see Betty Jo Tucker is already in the chat room. I'm going to open up the chat room. If you want to join the chat, go to Blog Talk Radio. Give yourself a self-serving name. And you can join some chat room, and I'll promote whatever you got going on there. And, you know, it's a lot of work, but somebody's got to do it. Get that chore wheel out. Yeah. Boom, shaka. What do we have? A little, I don't know. I post some songs and then they disappear. This is so weird. Okay. Well, I was going to play some Afterbirth Monkey, but here we go. Nerd. Afterbirth Monkey.
Loves Harry Potter and D&D, drinks Theory and the coils of Tesla, went as Darth Vader for Halloween, rides around on a powder blue Vespa.
Exterminate, exterminate!
Selvish Navi and Klingon,
oh.
Yelled winter is coming at Comic-Con, while keeping Hal Jordan's ring on. That's me, I'm a nerd, that's me, a super legitimate nerd.
Whenever I was younger, to have dreams that Trini, the yellow Power Ranger, would come to my bedside and teach me karate. I was 17 years old.
I'm not fooled by your LASIK. They're not fooled by my LASIK. Nobody's fooled by our LASIK. It's true.
Ladies and gentlemen, when Judy Garland first came to New York to open up her really theatrically historic first engagement at the Palace Theater, she said she just wouldn't come to New York without a certain young comic. She wanted him on the bill. His name was Alan King. And as you all recall, from the time he opened the Palace Theater, he became the rage of New York. Now he actually commutes to England because he's the number one comedy star in England. So let's have a wonderful welcome for Alan King.
Thank you very much. Seems a little chilly for July 5th.
I don't know.
But, I am very happy to be here tonight. Of course, Ed has been so kind to mention my commuting to England. I just had a great thrill. I was on the command performance for Her Majesty the Queen of England. I hope you don't mind if I spend a few minutes discussing this, because with my background, you know, I'm not too familiar with royalty usually, you know. I once got drunk with Count Basie in Cincinnati. And, we were up in Glasgow, Scotland for the command. It was a great occasion. We were all standing backstage after the performance, and the Lord Mayor of Glasgow just walked around with the Queen, you know. He was so excited. I wasn't, because I was drunk, you know. That's where they make the stuff, you know, up there. It's beautiful. It comes out of the tap. I was standing there, and of course, very nervous, and Lord Mayor said, "Your Majesty, may I present Mr. King from America?" And she said, "How do you do, Mr. King?" And I said, "How do you do, Mrs. Queen?" I don't think I'll ever go back. No, but she was a very charming lady. Of course, my wife was there with me, but she didn't meet the Queen. Of course, that was when I was there. Now, to hear the story, you think that she doesn't make a move without my wife, you know. Because women lie a lot, you know. No, I mean this. You know, I've been married 12 years. And I found out that when a man becomes successful, in any degree, it's the woman that changes. Now, I come from the Lower East Side of New York. I never met a comedian that didn't come from the Lower East Side. I know a very talented comedian from Cincinnati moved to the Lower East Side of New York. And actually, I live so far downtown, 14th Street was like Connecticut to me, you know. And, yes. I met my wife there. We come from the same neighborhood. In fact, my family had more money than my wife's family. And we were on relief. You can imagine what a thrilling of course, to look at my wife today, you'd never dream she came from so humble a beginning. You think she came from a plantation in Virginia somewhere. And that's one of the reasons she's not too happy with me, because I'm the only one left that remembers where she came from. Anytime she opens up a big mouth, I remind her where she came from. I like to think back the old days when we were so happy, so much in love. We were married 2 years. My wife told me I was to become a father. This is a big moment in your life. I like the way the women tell you important things. They don't discuss it over the dinner table or during the evening. They wait till you're sound asleep. Have you ever noticed that? It aggravates them that you're sleeping. Now, my wife stays up all night because she hasn't got no place to go in the morning, you know. She watches the Late Show, the Late Late Show. She salutes the flag, sings the Star Spangled Banner. She waits for the thought for the day. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but remember what a wet horse smells like and all that. Now, I was asleep, as I said, and my wife walks in. Now, when the woman walks in, you're asleep. They do little things to find out if you're really asleep, you know. Like all the lights go on, they slam the door, the shoes go down, and then the cough. You ever hear a polite cough? Then she says, "You up?" Even if you're dead, you react a little. Then they get alongside of you and they stop at the elbow. Did you ever get the harpoon in the ribs in the middle of the night? Alan, if you're not doing anything, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm always busy at this hour. I play polo every morning at 5 o'clock. What do you want? She says, "I have a strange desire for some exotic food." She said, "Run down to the All My Delicatessen and get me a corned beef sandwich with some chocolate sprinkles, some whipped cream, a piece of watermelon, and a sour pickle." Well, you know, sleepy as I was, I realized that this was it, you know. I had seen enough movies to know that this is the way it is. You ever notice when a woman is expecting how she really takes charge of your life? The first thing, of course, the neighborhood wasn't good enough anymore. You know. She said, "I don't want my children growing up in this neighborhood." I said, "I can't afford where I'm living now. What do you want from me?" "The kid comes, you don't like the neighborhood, let him move. I'm staying right here." She says, "Alan, let's buy a house." Now, you know, I've been making fun of the suburbs for many years, and this is actually the way I moved out there. She said, "Let's buy a house. Everybody's doing it." You remember, 10 years ago, the exodus from the city to the suburbs. Someone cut a ribbon, they fired a pistol, and the land grants were out. Onward to the suburbs, these gallant pioneers with the covered wagons and the mink stoles hanging out the back. You know, everybody out there. I bought a house for $48,000. It was listed to sell for $12,500. But I wanted extras, you know. Little things like I needed windows, I wanted a floor in one room. Own your own home. Save your money all your life so you become your own janitor. That's all it is. You
only time my wife talks to me is, Alan, take out the garbage. Say, we didn't eat. Where's the garbage coming from? She can't stand to see me sit still for 5 minutes. She collects the garbage from the neighbors just so I can sit down. Suburbs, what a ridiculous place to live. Nobody talks to anybody. It's a competition thing out there, you know. I've got one neighbor I haven't seen in 4 years. He's hiding because he knows I want him to go partners on the hedges. That's the big thing, you know, the lawns. Did you ever see Sunday in the suburbs? You ever see how ridiculous the men look? They work hard 6 days a week. Come Sunday, they're on all fours like dogs crawling around. They all have the same outfits, you know. Bermuda shorts, sneakers, bony knees. And they all have the shirt with the alligator on it, like a bag. We're all sick. How would you like to come home from a drunk on Saturday night and Sunday morning at 6:45, the neighbors are out. They cut the grass with a motorboat where I live. You say, what's going on down there? They say, oh, good morning, Mr. King. They don't drink, you know. They're up. They're ready to go. Say, what are you going to do about the crabgrass? I'm going to let it lay there till 3 o'clock. Then I'll decide what to do. I don't make important decisions at 7 o'clock in the morning. I hope the lawn rots. I hope it spreads to everybody else's lawn. In the middle of a television rehearsal, my wife calls me on the phone, crying, screaming. I rush home. She's standing in front of the house. Alan, lawn is dying. I didn't even know we're sick. What do you want me to do? I've got a gardener. Oh, he's brilliant. Brilliant. He keeps telling me I have sour soil. I told my wife not to marry me. It's hereditary. Oh, that sour soil before me. What do you do about it? Gardener says we use Kentucky bluegrass. That's the finest grass seed in the world. But they don't tell you it only grows in Kentucky. I gotta buy a racehorse for $3,700. Let him walk around the grounds every day. You think the gardens are the only thing to worry about? What about the decorators? Are they beautiful? My wife just found two beautiful decorators. Well, a set of bookends like this you never saw. They come to the house once a week. They fly around the room. They're always wearing sandals. Could be snow on the ground. They wear sandals. And they're always coming back from Italy. They never go. They're always coming back. They keep saying, in this corner, we'll put some ivy. You know about ivy. If you have a piece of furniture that has a hole in it, immediately becomes a planter. You know, the ivy, we got it coming out of faucets, keyholes, cracks in the wall. Did you see the new thing where they open up the drawer and the ivy hangs out of the drawer? And my socks and underwear are laying on the floor, but the ivy's coming out of the drawer. And my wife keeps telling me the reason we live out there is for the children. Better schools, which is, of course, ridiculous. We live directly across the street from a public school, and my boy can't attend. We don't live in the zone. They got kids from out of state going to the school, but we don't live in the zone. They tell me the zone line runs right through my house. According to them, if my kid slept in the garage, he could go to this school. I'll tell you the truth, I could go on like this for hours, but I'll be honest with you, the only reason is I don't ever finish this thing. I'd like to finish it by selling my house. You've been a delightful audience, ladies and gentlemen, and a happy July 4th weekend, and good night. That's it.
Well, I have a little dilemma. My computer has froze, and I can't get to my switchboard. I'll see if I can play something. But meanwhile, Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Addict Headquarters, tomorrow. She's going to have a great show. Tuesdays. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m. It's at Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, so check it out. She's going to have Bill Macy, who will discuss Hollywood movies and their changing nature. Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Addict Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Let me see if I can work with the computer, otherwise I have to end my show early. Oh, it's going to be a short show today, people. It's frozen. I can't do anything. All right. Well, there you have it. It's a short show today. I'm going to have to close my computer and figure out how to do this. You'll have to watch the Mom and Pop Shop Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. on Dream Stream Radio. Okay, sorry I have to end early, but it's completely frozen. Can't do a thing about it. I'm trying escaping. I'm trying for all the things here. All right. Have a good day. Sorry, no music, no nothing. Bye-bye.